When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to a very remarkably special Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Graham Thillis. I'm joined today by Craig Anderson.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Scotland Men National Teams manager Steve Clark. Hello, Steve.
Hello, how are we doing?
Very well. It's a bit of a surprise today for I think everybody as well, so we're delighted to be here. Big thanks to Scottish FA for having us along and you for giving up the time today to have a chat to a couple of jobbers that have never kicked a ball in their life, so thanks very much for that.
No problem. Obviously, it's a long 3 months between the last international and the next international, so I thought I'd fill my time doing something a little bit different.
Craig, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so obviously you spent the last year and a half in it, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching that Kilmarnock team as the manager there, and you had access to the players every day, and you could get them kind of set up to look like a really good team. Now, coming to Scotland manager, and you only get kind of a short period of time to work with the players, how have you coped with that adjustment, and how do you try and deal with it?
I think you try and deal with it in a different way. Obviously, you don't have the day-to-day interaction, so you have to try and get your message across quickly. I think I said when I took over the job that it might take me 8, 9, 10 training camps before you actually feel comfortable, or the players feel comfortable coming into the squad and knowing what's expected of them. Hopefully we've accelerated that a little bit, because we've got a crucial game coming up against Israel here in March. And hopefully on the back of a good win in that game, we've got a potential final humdinger, if you like, against Norway or Serbia to actually get to the Euro 2020. So it's been a good learning experience for me, and I think with the performances of the team in the last two games, it gives everybody a little bit of hope and optimism going into March.
Yeah, and so you said about your plan, these kind of 10 games would be how long it might take you to work with them, and obviously that has accelerated. What do you feel the identity of the Scotland team will be? You know, there was a strong sense from the Kilmarnock team that you had of what they were trying to do and what the identity of that team was. What do you see that identity of the Scotland team being under Steve Clark?
I think it's probably a little bit more fluid with the national team than it is with a club team, because you'll always have different players available. Obviously, injuries are going to play a key part of that. Players go away with a club, and sometimes they're selected, sometimes they're not selected. So if players are not being selected for their club, it's more difficult to select them for the international. So it's a little bit more fluid. I'd like to think always that people will look at my team and say, well, I can see what they're trying to do. They're well organised. I'd like to stop conceding goals. I think we concede too many goals. Even in the last two games against Cyprus and Kazakhstan, we gave away two goals that I feel could have been prevented. So if we can tighten up at the back, I think we've got players who will always create chances and score goals. So it's important that we become a little bit more difficult to score against.
Obviously, when you took over the role, Belgium and Russia as a back to back was
good way to start. Eh?
It's just about as difficult a start as you could really have had in the group. What were the real sort of takeaways that you took from those games? What did you learn from those games in particular? As you said, it's a very difficult way to come into a job. It's very difficult for the players to start developing that identity as a team. So what were the main things that you learned from it?
I think that run of fixtures was particularly difficult because obviously it was Belgium, Russia. Those four games together were really difficult. And normally, between the difficult games in any section, you get a game that's winnable. We didn't have that luxury, so to lose and lose and lose and lose suddenly becomes a little bit wearing for the players. What did I learn from it? A lot, because you learn more in defeat than you do in victory sometimes. So it was good to watch Belgium play, to see the standard and the level. And to be honest, we have to accept that we're not close to that level at this moment in time. We have to aspire to be as good as Belgium. Probably the two Russian games were the biggest disappointments, because we started really well here at Hampden against them, got ourselves in front. And for reasons that are really difficult to define or to put your finger on, we allowed that game to slip away from us in a way that we probably shouldn't have done. I don't think we should have lost that game, having been in front. I don't think we should have lost it. Like I said, we conceded goals, which we could have prevented, and I think we better defend than we should have prevented. The game in Russia, I thought for an hour we were very competitive, really good in the game. But then to concede a goal and to collapse the way we did after that was really disappointing. I said at the time, I hope that's a low point and we can build from that. And since then we've had three victories, which is good for confidence. And obviously good for the players. They feel better about themselves. They understand what you have to do to get results at international level. But the short answer is, at this moment in time, we're too far away from Belgium. The top teams are better than us. And we have to find a way to be much more competitive against the Tier 2 teams or the Level 2 teams. So the team seeded 2. I think we should have been more competitive. We should have been able to get a result against Russia. And that's something that we have to put right. No, in that group section, we played to our seeding. We were seeded 3. We finished 3rd in the group. Is that something to celebrate? No. But it could have been worse. We could have finished 4th and then you play below your seeding. So small steps. As a manager, you're always looking for the little positives. So we played to our level, but we have to learn how to play above our level. And hopefully in the coming matches, in the coming years, if I get that long in the job, that we become a second seed rather than a 3rd seed.
And then start punching up from there, ideally, as well. So
yeah, that's what you have to do, but you have to make it in small steps. So yeah. if you're seeded 3rd, you have to make sure that the minimum is you finish in that 3rd seed position. And then you try and chip away and become a 2nd seed. And then once you become a 2nd seed, your ultimate ambition would be to chip away and become a top seed, which at the moment looks a long way away, but in international football, sometimes it's not. It can be a little bit cyclical and things can change quite quickly. One team that's suddenly very good just now can lose 3 or 4 key players and not be as good in the future.
Excellent. You've spoken previously as well about the importance of your early experiences in football and how those shaped you as a player and shaped you as a coach as well. And then following on from that, as a coach, you've been alongside Gullit and Mourinho and Dalglish, and you've been against some of the sort of the biggest names in world football as a manager as well. Have you taken influences from every single one of them, or is there one which has been a sort of a bigger influence on you throughout your career?
Yeah, I think you always take little bits from, I think, from every manager that you've ever played with, even the ones you didn't like as a player, the ones that didn't play you.
Learning more in defeat again.
You learn and you look at them and you think, as a player, if you've got a manager that doesn't play you, leaves you out of the team, how does he handle the situation? Is he good to you? Does he talk to you? Does he ignore you? Does he try and push you out of the club? You look at all those little things, how people handle you as a person. And I think if you're going through them all, I mean, all the people that you mentioned there are great. You didn't mention Sir Bobby Robson, who was fantastic. I worked with Bobby in Newcastle for a very short spell, but learned a lot from him about, in terms of how to handle people, how to deal with the human side of footballers, which sometimes people forget about, because they are human and they've got problems like everybody else. And Bobby was great at man management. I worked with Mourinho, who was very, very precise on details and very intense and very driven. And that was a fantastic experience. On the back of that, I went to work with Kenny Dalglish, Sir Kenny Dalglish, and was almost the complete opposite of Mourinho. I'm not saying Kenny wasn't focused, he wanted to win, he had the same desires, same need to win as any top professional, but was totally different to Jose Mourinho, and Kenny was a little bit more laid back and allowed the players a little bit more leeway, and always said you'll get something back from the players. And we had good success at Liverpool as well with Kenny. So always looking. Different people have different ways of working. I try to take the best from all of them. Try not to use the worst of any of them, and try to just be me as a manager. I didn't try to copy anybody. You just have to be yourself. I've got my own style, my own way. I'm not believe it. Well, you. Probably on the back of this, not very talkative, don't overspeak to people, can be a strength, can be a flaw, but that's me, that's just the way I am. So someone said to me many years ago, just be yourself, and if that's good enough, then that's fine.
What is it you think that those people saw in you that made them want to work with you? What do you think Jose Mourinho, what do you think Kenny Dalglish saw that made you think, I want this guy?
Well, aside from the obvious fantastic talent, I think the fact that I'm a very honest person. I think if you're an assistant, it's good to support a manager and be with a manager, but it's also really important that they know that you've got an honest person at the side, and if you need to say something that might upset somebody, you have to say it. So I'm a very honest person. So I think that's a good trait for any person to have, but I think as an assistant manager or a coach, it's very important for a manager to have an assistant who's honest.
Have you found your relationship with other managers has changed now that you're Scotland manager and you're asking them to give up a little bit more? Can we have your players for a period of time as well?
Believe it or not, I don't actually ask the managers. I just pick the squad.
Just write it down on a list.
You just pick the squad. You put the squad out. Obviously, the clubs all get informed that you're picking the players. So in terms of that relationship with other managers, not really changed. The only difference is you don't see them periodically on the side of the pitch, because I'm no longer required to stand on the side of the pitch except in international games. So no real change in relationships with managers. If I bump into any of them, you spend the time of day, you're polite, you're courteous, but they've got their job to do and I've got my job to do.
Yeah. On our podcast, Steve, as well, one of the things we do regularly is we have a session called Do Me a Solid, where you pick footballers to do a job for you, essentially, which is very often not even vaguely related to football. But you know the personalities, and you think, or we think we know the personalities. We don't know the personalities. We don't know who they are. So we put together a couple of scenarios, and I wondered whether you'd want to pick one with us as well. So the first one is Scotland reached the playoff final, and it ends in a draw, and there's a penalty shootout, and the penalty shootout just goes on for hours. Just players keep scoring, keep scoring, keep scoring. So the referee steps in and says, what we're going to do is, in order to decide what's going to happen here, who's going to progress to Euro 2020, we're going to have a talent show. So we need to pick a player. Scotland need to give us a player from the squad who's going to do a talent show. Would you like to select someone? Who in that situation as a manager, who are you picking as the member of the Scotland squad to step forward, send Scotland to Euro 2020 with whichever remarkable talent that they have?
Wow. That's the kind of question you don't really expect to get.
But a big carry one, I'm sorry.
I would I'd probably mention Stephen O'Donnell. And Stephen can do a bit of everything. We were talking about off air a little bit earlier and how he can bake a lovely cake or nice Empire biscuits. But I think Stephen would have the necessary skills to entertain the judges in whichever way we felt necessary to win.
And just one final one as well, that again, we reached the playoff final, and just before it, UEFA throw a curveball, and they say, what you get is you actually got a 12th player, but it can only be selected from the national team coaching staff as it is. So you've got to pick a 12th player, but it can only be, you can't draft in somebody at the very last minute in your coaching staff, it has to be one of the existing coaching staff. So who of the coaching staff gets to be the 12th player to help Scotland qualify for Euro 2020 in the playoff final?
That one's so easy. It's me. I always said I never got enough Scottish caps, so if I could give myself another cap, that would be absolutely 100% what I would do.
Magic. Thanks so much for your time today, Stephen.
No worries, thanks.
Really, really do appreciate you giving up your time for us, and thanks to SFA for allowing us to do this as well. Obviously, the Scotland-Israel game is coming up. There are still tickets available, which are rapidly running out, I believe, and we obviously want Hampden to be as full and as busy and as boisterous and to be that atmosphere on the night here at Hampden. It's the Scotland fans' chance to really make a difference for the team coming out as well.
Absolutely, I think it's really important that we get a full house at Hampden with the Tartan Army in full voice. Can be a big, big advantage for us, no matter which country we're playing. So I'm sure, I've said it consistently, I'm sure that when it comes to the big games here at Hampden, the Tartan Army are always there, they're always there to support their country, and they'll be here in March, and hopefully we can give them plenty to sing about and be happy about.
And we'll certainly be here as well. You can get tickets on the tickets.scottishfa.co.uk, so please do join us here on the evening, have a couple of cans and really enjoy yourself on the night as well. Have a great time, and we'll hopefully see us through to the playoff final and then on Euro 2020 beyond that. So thanks again, Steve.
Brilliant. Thanks for the invite. Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.